Good morning, everybody. Just take the volume up a little bit, please. Thank you. Who's here for the first time today? Well, welcome to all of you. Amen. Look at that big smile. He's like, oh, I like that. Amen. We must be happy to come to church. Better is one day in the house of God than a thousand days elsewhere. Amen. I'm busy speaking to you on the tongue. Let me see by a show of hands, how many of you have learned something in the series on the tongue? Oh, wow. How many of you believe every now and then it sounds, oh, this oak is talking to me? Then I'm so glad you came to church. Amen. I'm not talking to anybody specific. I'm talking to all of you. Why? Because with all due respect, most of us are our own worst enemy. When it comes to what comes out of our mouth and the way we sometimes say things, the type of things that we say, we don't realize that there is going to be consequences. And the consequences are not necessarily going to be good. In fact, a lot of people right now at this moment are battling severely. They got problems, problems, problems. You name it, it's wrong in their life, and they blame everything around them. Yet when you look at the Word of God and you compare what the Word of God says about the tongue and you look at their life, that's exactly where they are. They are simply reaping what they have been sowing. And if we don't understand that, then we can't fix the problem. Amen. I want to give you an illustration. There was a man by the name of George Brown. One day he was in his house and he heard the clatter of a wheelbarrow. The problem was the clatter of the wheelbarrow was in his yard and he wasn't expecting anybody to be there. So he goes to the front yard and there he sees another gentleman by the name of Manly Strong. He's carrying a wheelbarrow, pushing a wheelbarrow, and on this wheelbarrow is every rotten thing that you can think of. There's rotten flowers, there's rotten eggs, there's rotten cucumbers. You get the idea. It's like very smelly, very rotten, ugly. Not nice. And so Mr. Strong asks Mr. Brown, "Where would you like me to dump this, sir?" Of course, Mr. Brown looks at him like there's something wrong with him. He's like, "Are you mad? Are you losing your marbles? What do you mean you want to dump this rubbish in my house? I don't need rubbish like this." Then Mr. Strong replied to Mr. Brown, "Sir, if you think you can walk around dumping your garbage wherever, then surely you shouldn't have a problem with other people dumping their garbage wherever." And of course, the one looked at the other and he was like, "But what are you talking about?" So Mr. Strong said to Mr. Brown, "Let me help you to understand where this is going. Do you remember yesterday you were talking to a group of young boys?" "Yeah." "Do you remember the stories that you told them? They weren't very fresh. They weren't very good. In fact, it's the type of stuff young men should never even hear. You see, Mr. Brown, you had no problem polluting the minds of these youngsters with the rubbish that you shared. How many times did you swear in their presence? You know that they are young and easily impressionable. You have corrupted their minds. I am their Sunday school teacher. If you can dump your rubbish in my kids' minds, you should have no problem with me dumping my rubbish in your garden." Guess what? The man got the point. But you see, that's exactly what it's about. We do not realize sometimes that we are dumping garbage in people's minds by the things that we speak. Now, here's something that I want you to think about. If I take a wheelbarrow and I go and dump my garbage in your yard, it's going to upset you, but you can simply go and pick it up and your yard will be clean in the twinkling of an eye. The problem comes with the rubbish that gets dumped in our minds. It gets stuck there. And now we battle to get rid of it. How many of you are battling because you got rubbish stuck in your mind because somebody came and dumped their rubbish with you? And some of you 5 years, 10 years, 20 years later, you still stuck on the stuff that sits in your mind. We don't always realize the power of words. But that is the power of words. You know, we've spoken about this already, but let's say, just for argument's sake, I come to Paulo and I talk about Eddie to Paulo. I don't know whether what I'm saying is true because I heard it via. But I feel that Paulo needs to know, so now I'm dropping this garbage in him, which now creates in him a resistance towards Eddie because he doesn't like what he's hearing, and he's like, now it's 20 years later and the two of them are still not talking. Where's the problem? The problem is with the garbage that I was dumping in his mind that he now cannot get rid of because it's stuck there. And that creates in him feelings and emotions that would never have been there if it wasn't for the words that were spoken. Doesn't the Bible say that a gossip destroys good friendships? How many people today are no longer friends? Not because they did anything to one another, but because somebody came and dropped garbage in one of them's ear. And many times when we drop these things, we never even bothered to find out, is it actually true or not? So the story that I shared with you is to serve as a reminder that we all have influence over other people, and we must be very careful in the way that we are influencing them. And let me take the opportunity to talk to you about youngsters. Yeah, I've got two little youngsters here. Just wave at the people there. Okay, you can't even see their hands. That's how small they are. They are young and impressionable. And the thing is, have you ever noticed the word that a youngster picks up quicker than any other word is the word they shouldn't be picking up? Hello? Like you drop a bomb. And then immediately your wife says, ooh, don't teach him that. The first word that he's going to tell the teacher is that word. You're the one that's going to look stupid, unfortunately, because that's just the way that children are. The Word of God places a great emphasis on the tongue, especially when it speaks about sin. Now, two of the Ten Commandments refer specifically to the type of sins that will come about because of the tongue. We have the third commandment, which says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. In other words, when you speak, do not use the name of the Lord your God unless you are specifically addressing him as God. And then we have the ninth, which says, you shall not bear false witness, or as we better refer to it as, thou shalt not lie. Okay? You mustn't talk lies. You mustn't talk rubbish. So, in Proverbs 6, verse 6 to 19, we are introduced to seven things which God apparently hates. Sometimes they are also referred to as the seven deadly sins. And the seven deadly sins contain three things which are directly related to the way we speak and the type of things that we say. The first one that is referred to is the lying tongue. The second one referred to is bearing a false witness. And the third one is he who sows discord amongst friends, which I will just sum up as gossip. When you go and you drop a story with one person and then with another person, and in the end everybody is fighting because of what you said, it's a gossip. Now, why is that important? Because we are told before God mentions these are things God hates. Who can I use as an example? Mr. Victor. Your wife isn't here today, so I'm not going to put you on too much of a spot. But if you keep doing things to your wife that your wife hates, how pleasant is your life going to be? I can see how red he's just gone. He's just thinking of quite a few things that he's done. Listen, yeah. When you keep doing things to somebody that they hate, it will ruin the friendship. It'll cause problems. You will have no peace. Now, the fact is, we are warned God hates these things. If we keep doing these things, it begins to bring a problem in our relationship with God. Now, we've already seen that Jesus gave us a very, very stern warning about the tongue. If we look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus says, but I tell you, that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word that they have spoken. For by your words, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. Nobody wants to stand condemned. We would all like to stand before God one day, and God must say, "Well done, faithful servant. I am blessed with you. You did brilliantly." Come on, raise your hands if you don't want that. Well, bless God. At least you're all listening. Yanni? No. Okay. Everybody wants to stand before God one day and receive good news. I'm happy with you. Well done. Brilliant job. You know? But apparently some people are going to stand before God and they're going to get a mouthful. Because what came out of your mouth is going to come back to you when you stand before God. If you do not one day want to be in trouble with God, you better put a guard before your mouth and begin to think before you speak. You better begin to measure your words. You know, a lot of the times we say of certain individuals, hey, that one doesn't measure their words. I want to say something to you. That's not always a compliment. Sometimes that means that you got a problem. Because according to the Bible, you should be measuring your words. You can't just blast off with whatever you feel like and expect there to be no consequences. There will be consequences. We're going to get to that a bit later. One day when you stand before God, you want to hear some good news. Then good news has to come out of your mouth. Because you're going to receive back what you gave. He says, by your words, you will be acquitted. By your words, you will be condemned. Now here's an interesting thought. Have you ever noticed that the way a person speaks can tell you a lot about that person? Am I talking rubbish? Have you ever listened to somebody and just by the content, the way they speak, it sort of speaks to you about the kind of person that you're dealing with? I'm going to give you an interesting, just one to think about. Your accent will immediately tell people where you come from. You know, the person doesn't have to say to you that they're from Edinburgh. The way they speak tells you they are from there. And you don't have to wonder whether the oak is from Pofadder. The way he speaks English tells you he must be from somewhere there. Do you understand? The accent, the way that we speak, reveals a lot about us. Now, if your accent alone can tell people about you, what will what comes out of your mouth tell people about you? It's even biblical. How many of you remember Jesus once said to Peter, before the cock crows 3 times, you are going to deny me. And Peter said to Jesus, oh, that's never going to happen. These things will never come out of my mouth. I will always fight for you. I will, you know, he was like, no, you can't be talking about me. Matthew 26 verse 73, after a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away. How did they know who he was? They heard his accent. And because they heard his accent, they went up to him and said, hey, you speak just like the rest of them. You must be one of them. Oh, it's not me. I've never heard of these people. Now, I'm calling curses down upon myself. If it is me, his accent gave him away. How many times does the words coming out of your mouth give you away? We say we love everybody. We say we bless everybody. Listen to what comes out of your mouth. It says a lot about you. So Peter was trying to hide who he was, but his words betrayed who he really was. Many times you have somebody coming for an interview. And of course, when we come for an interview, we have to impress people. The problem is, your words are going to reveal who you truly are. You will fool the boss today, and you will fool him tomorrow. But ultimately, what comes out of your mouth is going to show everybody who you really are. You might find this a little bit strange, but the same thing happens all the time, all over the world. People try to show one thing, but when they open their mouth, their tongue betrays who they really are. You see, your words, more than anything else about you, not the shoes you wear, not the pants you wear, not your hairstyle, your words show people who you are. Matthew 12, verse 34. Listen to the scripture. Please, listen to the scripture. Matthew 12, verse 34. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart. Who are you? It's in your heart. What kind of person are you? It's in your heart. Your mouth can tell people a lot of things, but your heart will reveal to people exactly who you are. And where's it going to come out? The Bible says the mouth is simply speaking out of the overflow of the heart of man. Amen? So you see, your words and your heart, whether you like it or not, are linked. Most people, when describing themselves, and I say this respectfully, but it happens to be true, most people when describing themselves, oh, I'm actually not a bad person, I'm a good person. Because nobody wants to think of themselves as a bad person. If I walk behind you and I record every word that you say every day, and I play it back to you, are you still going to think that you're a good person? Because you see, your words are going to show who you really are. I want to say something about the mouth. Most people are ignorant of what really comes out of their mouth. Because they have this idea, I'm actually not a bad person. So they never check what comes out of their mouth. In fact, there's a lot of people, 1 F-bomb, 2 F-bomb, 3 F-bomb. No, I don't swear. What you talking about, I swear? Now, I never said that. What you mean you never said that? We've come to a place we don't even realize what's coming out of our mouth. I've had conversations with a number of people and I said to them, but you said this and this and this. I would never say stuff like that. You see, the thing is, the person's not lying. They've become so used to speaking that way that they don't even realize that that's what they say. And that's where the problem comes in, because your heart has come to a point that it is so corrupt that you don't even realize this is who you are. Because in your mind, you still, I'm a good person. So, most people would view themselves as being, as I have said, good people. But here's the thing. The things we look at and then decide, I'm actually a good person, and the things God looks at to decide whether you're good or not, are sometimes very far removed from one another. What I'm simply trying to tell you is God has got a very different way of looking at us than what we have. You know, the world worships a lot of people down here. That when God looks at their hearts, God is like, not good. The world is like, oh, you're amazing, you're wonderful. God is like, not good. Where's the problem? We need to begin to look at things through God's eyes. How are you going to go and look through God's eyes? You got to know what God's word says. It tells us how God looks at people. It tells us how God looks at the world. So if you want to know who you really are, if you want to know who a person really is, spend a day in their presence and listen to what comes out of their mouth. Because their mouth reveals their heart, and their heart is who they really are. This is how God looks at us. Jesus said clearly, your mouth will betray your heart. It's easy for us when the pressure is there to say, oh, I love everybody. Just don't turn in front of me when I'm driving. Amen. Just don't support the Blue Bulls. Amen. Yeah. Jesus said clearly, your mouth will betray your heart. Now, look at it from this perspective. A lot of good people, if this is the criteria that they use to examine their own lives, will have to admit, I'm actually not as good as I thought. And why is that important? Because you see, the thing is, until you can't come to the place that you recognize you have a problem, you can't fix nothing. There's a lot of people that want prayer for the symptom, but they're not willing to deal with the cause. Pray for me because I got problems. My whole life is falling apart. Deal with your tongue. My tongue is fine. Don't judge me. Now, I'm not judging you. I'm telling you the word of God. Right is right and wrong is wrong. It's time to call a spade and not an agricultural instrument. You see, with our mouth, we try and make bad things look not so bad. God doesn't work that way. And I want to tell you something, gray areas exist only in your mind. They do not exist in the Word of God, and they do not exist in life. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. You got to take sides. Be on the good side or be on the bad side. But remember, the fence will always belong to the devil, because there is no fence in God's kingdom. So, when you go to a doctor, I think most of you have noticed that the doctor will at some point in time tell you to open your mouth, and then he examines your tongue. Hello? Why does he do that? Because, funny enough, our tongues reveal a lot about our body. What the doctor sees when he looks into your mouth tells him a lot about what might or might not be wrong with you. Now, God, just like a doctor, examines your tongue, and through your tongue can diagnose the spiritual diseases that right now you are suffering from. A lot of us today are going to come forward for prayer. Pray for me for my health. Pray for me for my finances. Pray for me for my relationship. Pray for me for prosperity, etc., etc. The reason you want prayer is because everything in your life right now is not going the way you would like it to go. In fact, maybe you're battling a lot. God has to examine your tongue, because that's probably where a lot of the spiritual disease that's causing the symptoms you're experiencing is coming from. Matthew 12, verse 34, once again, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. How many of you know we need to think before we speak? The problem with words is, once you've let them out, they are actually out. You cannot take them back. You can go to that person and say, oh, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean it. But they'll probably never look at you the same way again. A story is told of a young boy who said some very bad things about somebody else. And he then realized what he did was very wrong. And he went to his pastor and he said, Pastor, I have made a big mistake. What did you do? Oh, I said some very, very bad things about so and so. How do I fix it? And the pastor said to him, this is what you're going to do. Take a chicken. Go and place that chicken in front of the door of every house in the village. Let the people have the chicken for supper. And afterwards, everything should be okay. So the boy did that. He went and he bought 100 chickens. He put it in front of everybody's house. Everybody had nice chicken for lunch that Sunday. He came to the pastor. He said, Pastor, I've done exactly what you told me to do. Am I okay now? The pastor said, no. He says, why not? What must I do now? The pastor said, go fetch every feather that was plucked from those chickens and bring them to me. He said, Pastor, I can't do that. Pastor said, why not? He said, because Pastor, there was a wind and all the feathers are blowing all over the place. The pastor said, that's the same thing with words. They're out all over the place. You can never take them back. A lot of people, sorry, no, that's not where I am. The problem with words is, once they are out, they are out. You cannot take them back, and you cannot undo the damage that has been done by the words that you have spoken. James chapter 1 verse 19 says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone, look at your neighbor and say, that is you. That's you and me. Everyone should be, are you ready for this? Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Can I tell you the problem we have in the world today? Speak first, hear later. How many times do you walk into a place and you just blast off at the person? You did not ask what happened. You don't care what they have to say. You want them to hear what you have to say. That's unbiblical. The Word of God says, listen to me. This is very important. It says everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Can I tell you why we are quick to anger? Because we speak too quick and we didn't take the time to listen. Because we walk in there angry already. You should try and walk in there neutral and first hear what exactly is going on. If you actually listen to the other person, you might realize you had it wrong all the time. And if you walked in there and blasted everybody, you would have been the one with egg on your face. God's word is simply trying to help you. You know, the thing with people is we have to coexist with one another. We have to try and live in harmony. God is very big on unity. The reason today why we don't have harmony, why we don't have unity in a lot of families, in a lot of schools, in a lot of businesses, is because people have loose mouths. Instead of listening, they judge, they speak, they condemn, they belittle, they destroy with their mouths. And then later, when things are so bad that it's falling apart, they're like, oh, how do we fix this? You can't. That's why you should have been careful before you spoke in the first instance. Amen? It has been said that you should think twice and speak once. Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay, something just happened. Instead of going to your default, which is, it's like, okay, now we talk. There's an interesting little poem that I want to share with you. A wise old owl lived in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we all be like that wise old bird? That's true. You know, in any situation, there's so many things to say. I said it last week. I might have said it the week before, and I'm going to say it to you again. Very few people have egg on their face because they said nothing. But the world is full of people who have a lot of problems in their life because they had to say something. Sometimes the best thing to do is just be quiet. Proverbs 10 verse 19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent. I can't give it to you better than that. God says the more you talk, prepare yourself, the more you're going to have problems. Because if you insist on saying so much, so much, so much, so much, at some point in time you're either going to lie, or you're going to gossip, or you're going to slander, or you're going to speak idle words, which means speaking without really knowing what you're talking about because you're forcing things. Sometimes just a bit is just enough. Proverbs 17 verse 27 says, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint. Some translation says, a wise man uses words with restraint. What does it mean when you use words with restraint? It means that, yes, I have something to say. I've said it. It's enough. I don't have to add to it. I don't have to go back and rethink it. I've said just enough. In God's eyes, that is called wisdom. The world is sometimes, why are you so quiet? Why you don't have anything to say? Because I've learned from my mistakes. I don't want to say much. I've given you my opinion. It's enough. I want to tell you something. Sometimes we try and impress people because we have things to say. You should be trying to impress God. God says, few words impress me. Many words make me wonder. Don't impress people. Impress God. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 3 says, a fool's voice is known by his many words. I'm not calling nobody a fool here today, but listen to what the scriptures are saying. A fool's voice is known by his many words. Why? Because many words in God's eyes are foolish. Amen? They are foolish. There's a time when you need to say a lot of things, but there's a time when you need to know it's better to be quiet now. Because then trying to force the issue is causing you to be a fool in God's eyes. People often ask me, I want to talk about my own life. The people that know me very well, and there's quite a few of them here, will be able to tell you that I'm a generally quiet individual. I don't have a lot to say. In fact, if my mother was here, she would come here and she would take the microphone and she would say to you that when I preach, they are all blown away because they can't believe that so many words can come out of my mouth. As a child growing up, I was quiet. As a teenager, I'm not saying I wasn't naughty, because I was, but I was quiet. As a young adult, I had the same thing. I was quiet. Today I'm a pastor. I'm still quiet. Do you know how many times people ask me, why are you so quiet? Don't you have something to say? No, I actually don't. And you know, it used to bother me because sometimes I would sit there and think, man, what am I going to say? But at that point in time, I have nothing to say. It doesn't bother me anymore. I've learned from God's word that I'm probably exactly where God wants me to be. When we talk about God, I have a lot to say. When we talk about this and that, I actually have nothing much to say. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Your speech exposes the condition of your heart. Swearing, and I know a lot of people have a problem with that, exposes the profanity that is in your heart. Impure stories, in other words, liking to tell dirty jokes and dirty stories, etc., etc., discloses the filth that you have in your heart. Complaining and murmuring about everything is showing the thanklessness that is in your heart. Criticizing everybody about everything is probably just revealing the jealousy that is hiding in your heart. If you listen to your words, if you listen to them the way God does, they can help you to diagnose the problems that you have. And if you are then willing to be honest with yourself, you can begin to deal with your heart. The problem is, today when you point out people's problems, they immediately, don't judge me. It's got nothing to do with judging. It's got to do with applying the word of God. Because you see, yes, other people do battle because of your tongue, but nobody as much as you yourself. Because what you put out there is going to come back. In the last 2 weeks, we looked at a scripture. It says, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and they that use it will eat its fruit. Many times we will hear somebody say to somebody else, you will eat your words. And then it's like, so what? Problem is, that comes straight from the word of God. You will eat your words. If your words break somebody down, if your words belittle another person, if you spread rumors, if you spread lies, if in the way that you speak, you destroy relationships, guess what? You're going to eat it, which means what? The same things that you put out there. If my words cause hurt to her, hurt is coming for me. If my words cause her relationship to break up, my relationship will come under attack. If my words cause her to doubt, doubt is going to come for me. Do you understand? So where is it like, so what? One thing about people, most of us really like ourselves. From the point of view that you're not going to burn your hand on a hot stove, you're not going to step in front of a bus unless you feel suicidal, You know, we want to do the best for ourselves. If you really want to do good for yourself, you must learn what the Word of God has to say about prosperity. Prosperity is linked in a big way to what comes out of your mouth. Are you blessing others? Because then you can expect blessings to come back to you. Are you cursing others? Because then you should expect the curse to come back to you. Let's talk about swearing. Swearing is something that, unfortunately, is becoming more and more commonplace. I've had this discussion with a lot of people. I've had people try and convince me that who says a swear word is a swear word? Who decided one day that that is actually a swear word? Your conscience decided that. And I'm going to tell you why. If you like to drop the F-bomb left, right, and center, are you still going to do it when Jesus is in the room? No, then your conscience knows it's wrong. So don't get clever. Because our hearts and our consciences know that certain words are demeaning and destructive, and that's why we like to use them at certain points in time. But inside of you, you know that you know that you know it is wrong. Now, just because 90% of the world out there is using it, and just because nobody frowns anymore when somebody speaks that way, it doesn't make it right. You see, my friend, right is right and wrong is wrong. And I told you, there's no gray areas in the kingdom of God. Let me show you something interesting. Leviticus 24, verse 10 to 13. Now the son of an Israelite woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went amongst the children of Israel. And this Israelite woman's son and a man from Israel fought against each other in the camp. Okay, so something happened that caused two men to begin to fight with one another. What happens when two men are fighting? What happens to the tempers? They are flaring. And when tempers flare, what happens to the mouth? Hey, it can become very, very ugly. Now, listen to this. And then the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord God and cursed. And so they brought him to Moses, and the Lord spoke to Moses, and he said, take outside the camp he who has cursed. Then let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let the whole congregation stone him to death. Hello? What you have to say now? You see, for us, let me first say something. If you go and check in most dictionaries what swear words are, they are also called curse words. Did you know that? It's a bit of old-fashioned English because we don't speak that way anymore. But if you call somebody a idiot, it is a curse word that you are using. So we need to call a spade a spade. When you speak to somebody in that way, you are actually cursing that person. You are using what is known to be a curse word. Here we have a man who went out and had scrap with somebody else. He would probably feel justified that the person deserved to hear what he heard. But when God heard about it, God said, take him outside the city and stone him. You want to know how God feels about the words that come out of our mouth? There you have it. He's not impressed. Do you know why things were so radical in the Old Testament? Because that was God's way of keeping the people in line. You know, I want to promise you something. For the next couple of years, nobody cursed in Israel. Because everybody remembered what happened to the last guy that did it. You might not agree with the way God operates, but I want to tell you something. It's very effective. And God doesn't want us to use that kind of language. So how is that for an eye-opener? I want to ask you a very straightforward question. How many of us would have survived with our current vocabulary if we lived in biblical times. Well, there was a comment here, probably an hour. And it's true. You see, we need to look at this from God's perspective. The world has become a place where people swear all the time. In fact, when you listen to some people, there are more swear words than actual vocabulary in any given sentence. And then the world thinks it's acceptable. Unfortunately, in God's eyes, it will never be acceptable. You know, there's somebody, I'm sure you all know who he is, Gordon Ramsay. I don't watch his stuff because I can't handle the swearing. It's just filthy. But, you know, it would be very interesting one day when he stands before God and his life is played and there's hardly anything because it's just bleep, 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 bleep. How are you going to comment on that? Is it going to come back to him? I want to promise you it will. I'm just using him as an example because he likes to be out there with his swearing. You know, there's a lot of us here. We might be saved, but our tongues are not. And it's time for you to get your tongue saved because you need to understand these things can, will, and do come back to you. And they create a lot of problems in your life. I said to you earlier on, the kind of words that are classified as swear words are also called curse words. Now, the Bible says, bless them that curse you, bless and do not curse. The Bible also says, a curse without a cause shall not come to light. Now, let me sketch you a scenario. This is how it goes. Somebody does something by accident that upsets or offends you. They never meant to do it. It just happened. But you blast them. You got a 38 Magnum in your mouth and you are just going at them. Boom, 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 boom. You are cursing them. Now the Bible says a curse without a cause shall not come to light. In other words, that person in God's eyes doesn't deserve nothing that you are speaking over them. Where's the curse going to go? Well, it's only got one other person that it knows about. That's you. So it'll go whoosh. And it comes back into you. What have you just done? You've just cursed yourself. What's going to happen? Well, I can't tell you because anything can happen. But the fact is, a curse is a curse. And at some point in time, evil is going to be rampant in your life. Can you go about cursing people or cursing situations and then still expect to have a good, a healthy, a prosperous life? No, you can't. Here's an interesting bit of history. You all know who George Washington is, right? He was one of the presidents of the United States. Now, before he became a president, he was actually a general in the army. Now, General George Washington believed that the American army would lose God's favor because of all the swearing that was going on. On the 3rd of August, 1776, he wrote the following in his orderly book. I'm quoting directly from the book. I am sorry to be informed the foolish and wicked practice of profane swearing, a vice heretofore little known in the American army, is growing into fashion. I hope that the officers will by example and influence endeavor to check this, and that both they and the men will reflect that we have little hope of the blessing of heaven on our arms if we insult God by our impiety and our folly. Which means he was saying, he was deeply saddened that as he went out and he spent time with the troops, more and more he was hearing swear words. And then he's speaking to the officers and he says, it's time for you all to take this seriously because we cannot expect God of heaven to bless our armies when we go to fight when we upset him this way. And I want to say something to you. We need more George Washingtons in this world. We need more people that put their foot down and say, listen, yeah, right is right. Hello. You're right. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. I don't care how you argue swearing. I don't care how you argue using profane language. In God's eyes, it is wrong. The Bible says we will eat our words. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, and they that use it will eat its fruit. Okay. When you speak life over another individual, you are releasing fruit which you will one day eat. It will sustain you, it will bless you, it will uplift you, it will give strength to your body and your bones. Amen. But what happens if what you are speaking is not fruit? What happens if what you are speaking is poison? What is gossip? Isn't gossip a poison? What is swearing? Isn't swearing a poison? What is blasphemy? Isn't it a poison? Okay, so now, at some point in time, this is going to come back. What will your words do to your body? It'll poison your body. It'll poison your soul. It'll poison your spirit. Are you going to notice that? I want to promise you that you will. Right now, there's a lot of people that have a lot of diseases and sicknesses in their body. That's the cause. Your mouth. Right now, there's a lot of people that battle financially. What's the cause? Your mouth. Right now, there's people that have destruction everywhere in their life. Nothing that they do prospers. When that happens, a lot of people says, oh, it must be witchcraft. Well, if it is witchcraft, that witchcraft is coming from your own mouth. Because your words are coming back to you. And there is a knock-on effect. What you sow, you have to reap. And so sometimes the way it manifests is problems, problems, problems. I want to go so far as to say maybe sometimes we can't sleep at night. Because it is at night that our bodies digest our food. And guess what you're busy digesting? The poison that you spoke during the day. You see, we can pray for you and pray for you and pray for you till we are blue in the face. Nobody can help you, but you must help yourself. You have to stop sending out the kind of things that creates that life within you. Amen. If I was to ask today, how many of you love yourself? Can I see by a show of hands? How many of you love yourself? No. You can't just love yourself sometimes. You have to love yourself. Okay, let's not go there now. Do you love yourself, yes or no? Yes. Keep your hands up. If you love yourself, you need to do what will be a blessing for you. Amen? That means that loving myself means I'm going to be careful what I say. Loving myself means there are certain things that I will not allow to come out of my mouth. There is another thing called contentious words. How many of you know what contentious words are? It's an old English word. Contentious words means words that have the tendency to cause quarrels and disputes. Okay? That's contentious words. In other words, fighting words. Now, contention or quarrels are sometimes unavoidable. We all know that, but the way we speak could have avoided it from the beginning. If we have proper control of our tongue, the amount of contentious words that come out of our mouth is going to be minimal. Proverbs 15 verse 1 says the following, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A good way to look at this, imagine you sitting somewhere, and we've all had this, you're sitting somewhere having a picnic. And either a bunch of bees come or a bunch of wasps come, and it's like, they're all around you. Have you ever noticed that the way that you react is going to determine whether you get stung or not? When it comes to wasps, if you sit still and you mind your own business, they'll probably, and they'll go. The moment you begin to swat at them, you anger them, especially wasps. And what happens when you anger a bunch of wasps? They come for you. You're going to get stung over and over and over again. If we speak to people, the way that we speak to people will often cause a hornet's nest to be stirred in their life. Sometimes, and this is important for us to know, sometimes you can be saying the right things to somebody, but you say it to that person in the wrong way, and it ends up in a big fight. Hello? The way we say things is important, because contentious words cause contention, which means fighting words bring fights. What good is it you say the right things to the person? A big argument blows up. You win the argument, but in the end you've lost, because the person will never take what you said, because you upset them. Or you hurt them in the way that you spoke, so they're not interested in what you said. The hurt is speaking to them. Proverbs 16 verse 32 says, better a man who controls his temper than a man who takes a city. I want to say something about that. Down here we will, that oak's a great warrior. That oak took the whole city. That oak deserves our respect. God says, I respect more the one controlling their temper than what I respect the one that just conquered the city. You want to earn God's respect? Control your temper. Soft words can both stop arguments and prevent arguments. Sometimes we end up winning the argument, but we still lose because we allow a spirit of contention to create a fight. The next thing that I need to talk to you about is very important. It's called making fun. I first want to say something about God. God has a very good sense of humor. Don't ever think that God doesn't have a sense of humor, because God created all of us with a sense of humor. Hello? How many of you believe that you have a pretty good sense of humor? Where did you get it? You got it from God. You know, we do know that God has a good sense of humor. He made people like Mr. Bean. God has a very good sense of humor, but there are boundaries. Listen to me, there are boundaries. And sometimes when it comes to this, we overstep those boundaries and we find ourselves in very hot water. Ephesians 5 verse 4 says, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. In other words, God says certain words are out of place. If God says they are out of place, should they have place on your tongue? No, they shouldn't. Coarse joking is also referred to as jesting or making fun of others. It's one thing to play a joke on somebody. It's another thing to make fun of an individual. The moment you begin to make fun of people, it upsets the heart of God. God has no problem with humor because He created your sense of humor. What God does not appreciate is humor at the expense of somebody else. It would be very wrong to make fun of another person's handicap or to take advantage thereof. Listen to me. When somebody stutters, how often don't you hear somebody behind their back, oh, and you know, then everybody's like, oh, that's so funny. It's not funny. Listen to me. It's not funny. Or somebody has a problem with the way they walk, and then somebody's like, oh, there comes that one. It's not funny. We shouldn't even be laughing at that, because God is not laughing. In fact, God takes offense when he sees us treat other people that way. You do not gain laughs from other people at the expense of somebody else because you are offending God. The one who made them is God. Amen. Leviticus 19 verse 14 says, do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear the Lord your God. Did you hear that? It says don't mess with those who have problems. I want to tell you something about, it's not just South Africans, it's the world. The moment there's a disaster, you see pictures all over the internet making fun of the people that are having the disaster. You do not want to be in that place with God. You should have sympathy and empathy with the people that are suffering. Not trying to get cheap laughs at their expense. Because I want to tell you, you're sowing something very evil that tomorrow is going to come back to you. And the same things you're laughing about, somebody's going to laugh at your expense. God warns us in Proverbs 17 verse 5, he who mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. Did you hear that? A poor is somebody that is handicapped financially. Okay, can we agree on that? You walk past somebody and they barely got shoes on. And you make fun of that. God says, you've just mocked me. This is what people don't understand. Your mouth has just mocked their maker. You know, I wish some of these people that like to put these little pictures all over Facebook and whatever else, mocking people, would know what the Word of God says. Then they would also know why they got problems coming out their eyeballs, and they don't understand why. He who mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. Whoever gloats over a disaster will not go unpunished. That is serious. You know, this is what happens. There is a disaster. Somebody had a disaster. A country had an earthquake. Something went wrong somewhere. And it's like you can time it. Within 5 minutes, the jokes are going to come. The Word of God says, whoever gloats over disaster will not go unpunished. Proverbs 17 verse 5. Why must we talk about these things? Because you got to hear it. Because tomorrow, this comes across your path and you're laughing with everybody else, but you're bringing judgment and condemnation in your own life. You should turn around and say, guys, there's nothing to make fun of. I don't want to be part of it. Because so you protect yourself. You should be protecting yourself. I asked you the question, who of you loves yourself? Because if you love yourself, you want to do the best for yourself. Then why would you willingly put yourself in jeopardy? Why would you willingly curse your own life? People do it all the time, but they don't realize what they're doing. We have to understand. I've only got 2 minutes left. It's impossible. We would do well to remember the kids who mocked Elisha. In 2 Kings 2 verse 23, listen to the story. Big stress and drama. From there, Elisha went up to Bethel. As he was walking along the road, some youths came out of the town and jeered at him. Go on, old bald head. They said, go on, you bald head. He turned around and looked at them and called down a curse upon them in the name of the Lord. Then 2 bears appeared and mauled 42 of the youths. What were they doing? They were making fun of him at his expense. What happened? 42 died. Why is that in the Bible? Because that's how God feels when we mock another person, when we make fun of another individual. Criticism. I want to ask you a question. What do you see? Okay, I'm hearing the same word. What do you see? A dot. Right. Probably 1% of this paper has a dot. The rest is paper. Everybody saw the dot. Why? Because that's human nature. We focus on the problem. Nothing else. There's 90% white paper. Nobody said white paper. This is how we are. When we look at the life of somebody, there can be a million good things about that person. We will not bring up one of them. But let that oak make one mistake and everybody's on top of him and giving it to him. I want to tell you something that hurts God. Yes, it's not right that sometimes we make mistakes and we should probably deal with that. But what's even worse is that everybody can't wait to point that out. And to run around and tell everybody about it. A critical spirit. Matthew 7 verse 1 in the Living Translation actually says, do not criticize, then you will not be criticized. Remember, what you sow, you will reap. Being critical of my life today means a lot of people are going to be critical of your life tomorrow. Am I finished? Well, I did have one or two more things to say, but I'm going to leave it there for now. Did anybody learn something today? Give the Lord a big hand. You can.